to welcome to episode 5 of the Established Facts. We're going to go around the table real quick. We are on short staffed, kind of like the skeleton crew this evening. There's only 4 of us here this evening, so we're going to let the gentlemen, again, we are all gentlemen this evening, know Dr. Deb. She is at a family function. So we're going to go around the table and let you see who's all here this evening.
This is Don.
This is Josh.
And Anton.
And as always, I am the host. I'm Mike. Tonight, we are going to talk about, it's kind of a large topic, but I think we're going to do a good job about breaking it down for you. Over the next 9 episodes, we are going to take the alignment brackets that are in role-playing games and video games, things that define your character as good or evil or neutral in the retrospect, and we're going to break those down. I know it's a very difficult avenue of role-playing to be able to play a specific alignment, especially if that's not your natural personality's alignment type. It's very difficult to play that change. So we're going to break down all 9 of them for you over the next 9 episodes. So our versus topic this evening is very simple, yet could very turn into be this huge complex monster of good versus evil. So I'm going to go around the table, and I'm going to let Don give us his opinion very quickly on good versus evil.
Well, my opinion, I guess, on good versus evil would be I am always pro-good when it comes to a playable character, but there is a freedom that evil brings that you can't really get anywhere else. So I think I'm a little bit of a fence sitter on this, so.
Why am I not surprised?
Somebody's got to be one, right?
Right. Josh, your spot has already been taken, and Don is a much larger guy than you. So how do we feel about good versus evil?
Well, I'm glad to forego my spot of on the fence because I am most definitely a pro-good, heroic, whatever it may be, because who can't enjoy saving the damsel in distress or making sure the world doesn't fall into plunder?
That's true. Tony?
I'm the opposite side of that fence. I'm chaos and mass destruction.
Everyone loves a little mass destruction before breakfast. I guess if I had to choose, I would choose an evil campaign or the evil side. Because in my honest opinion, just because you're evil doesn't mean you can't do good things. But if you're good, you won't do bad things. So it's just kind of limiting, in my honest opinion. So we're going to go around here. Don, you were kind of on the fence. I'm going to let Josh try to convince you what the benefits are of playing good.
Evil deserves to be smote. Oh, well, I'm supposed to continue with this?
Yes.
Okay.
What if you're not playing a paladin?
Oh, okay, fair enough. One of the ultimate discrepancies, debates, discussions, / movie plot points are the good guy versus the evil guy. And you know, the hope that the good guy will always win or win out in the end. You see it in movies from Disney, movies from Lucas, movies from J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter. I mean, in the end, it's always a good versus evil situation. And you know, the idea of keeping life and keeping happiness together and available, you know, it all encompasses under the good side of things. I would rather take down an evil emperor who's I'm trying to think of the word.
A tyrant
who's causing mass chaos, as it may be. I'd rather be known as the hero to be a part of that. And maybe that sounds egotistical of sorts, but there are those other heroes who are the unsung or unspoken heroes. And I think that getting the opportunity to play that and be a part of that, both in gaming and in the real world, as it may be, I think can be considerably more fulfilling. Not that I don't agree that, you know, evil can have its bonuses by if it's coming from evil to turning good, but in the end, for me, it would I would prefer it would end good and start good.
Don, are you quite convinced?
Not quite. I would have to say the reason that I feel like I'm more of a fence sitter between good and evil, depending on the situation, I think they both have their necessary places. Obviously, when you're playing most games, if you're playing a good character, the role of the evil character is going to be that which spurs on the good character continue to do their good, where the evil character, obviously, being most of the time some sort of an egomaniac in their own way, are constantly wreaking havoc and spreading chaos where they can so that they can get as much of an advantage against that good guy, hoping that eventually something that they do will break them down so that they can then eventually defeat their arch nemesis, if you will, and then be able to wreak havoc without any sort of obstacles. I would have to say that one of the biggest reasons why I feel like I enjoy both sides is, and I know we've discussed in previous episodes that a lot of us are roleplay gamers. A lot of us are video game players as well. And I think that with a lot of newer role-playing games, when it comes to the actual video game world, you can actually get an opportunity to play both sides. You can play the good guy. You can play the bad guy. The first game that I can think of that comes to mind is Fable. Depending on the deeds that you do throughout the game, you can either become more holy or more evil, and you can actually change not only the reactions that people have to you, but also your physical demeanor. So I think that's kind of fun. It definitely allows you to have a little bit more freedom as a gamer. Now, specifically speaking on good characters, I think that there's a huge advantage to playing a good character when it comes to, as Josh said, kind of saving the day, kind of being that quintessential hero that you are allowed to be, and kind of opening the doors to being, you know, the White Knight or the the Prince Charming, if you will, depending on your character concept, or the savior of mankind, as some people might decide they want to be in their game playing. But on the flip side of that, there is a freedom that you get as a player, being able to kind of just let loose a little bit, because you don't get to do it in the real world without getting into a lot of trouble. Yep. And there is just a limitless avenue that you go down when you become that evil incarnate character, and you are allowed to get away with stuff that you would not normally be able to get away with without being punished. And that's not to say that, depending on the game that you're playing, that you won't be punished for being an evil character. If you're playing a role-playing game and you have people that are good in your party, or if you come across other non-player characters that are good or lawful, or depending, I know we'll get more into that later on, but you know, if you are coming up against people who are the opposite motivation as you, then those can definitely stem conflicts. But there's just something about being able to let loose every once in a while as a gamer, regardless what genre of gaming. You know, if you are a video game player and you want to play the bad guy side of you know, your Jedi Knight versus the good side of the Jedi Knight, and you want to be a Sith every once in a while, or if you're into card game playing and you want to play, you know, I can think of, like, Magic, where most people think of, like, red and black as being, like, the evil side, you know, green and white being the good side, if you will, and blue is kind of the balance between the two. Role-play gaming, you've got your good characters versus your evil characters, and so on. There's tons of different avenues that you can go down, and there's a lot of really interesting things that can stem from both sides, really. And I think that really it just depends on each individual player and what their motivation is and where they like to go and where they're allowed to go, really. So
I was going to try and sell you on evil, but it sounds like you've just kind of sold yourself. But I guess in my outlook on good versus evil, I've played in many games that are just like Josh said. You're the hero. You're trying to save the world. You rescue the damsel in distress. You take all the rewards, and you run about your business, and you retire as a hero. And the world loves you. And I've also played a couple of games where, you know, you are just that ruthless, conniving guy that is really out for himself, and you really don't care about what the rewards are because you want all your money up front. It's just like you said, it's just kind of a liberating thing to be able to say, you know, I don't have to involve the authorities when something bad happens. I can just go ahead and do it myself any way that I see fit. And just like you said, if you have a good DM, there will be consequences if you just turn into this serial killer and just running around and just, you know, slaying everyone in your way. You know, they will, you know, you'll alert the authorities and you'll have some people hunting you and things like that. Which, by all means, that's a good plot hook, and that's a good story to progress through anyway. I find that playing an evil character, you have all kinds of opportunities that are available to you that are normally not available to you if you play a good character. I.e., it's not nearly as much fun to be a good character and become that fallen angel and fall to a good guy, or a bad guy. However, it is something that builds character, not only in the character that you're playing, but also yourself, to take an evil character and watch him be reformed or watch him be redeemed or whatever. And I've played in games that has happened, and that has taken, two or three years to do.
I was going to say, I can remember a specific character that I think you started out as an evil character and eventually changed a lot of your internal thinking when it came to the character, just based off of the way the game went, but...
And that's mad props for the storyline and for the game master, because really what affects the characters in the game really has nothing to do with what the actual players do. If I'm, you know, running around in a town and my game master just really puts it upon my character that, you know, I'm getting ready to fireball this town and take them all out, and I see this little kid running around with a teddy bear looking for his mom, if I'm really a heartless, you know, sorcerer or whatever, then I'll just go ahead and continue to fireball the town. If I'm not, you know, I'll be faced with a decision right there. You know, am I going to help the little kid find her mom, or am I going to move the kid out of the town and then fireball the town? You know, it's you're provided with all kinds of little avenues that are, I think, in my honest opinion, a lot easier to see and a lot easier to exploit when you're an evil character than you are when you're a good guy. Because when you're a good guy, sure, you can chalk it up to, you know, I was in the rage of battle. I killed that guy, and I really probably shouldn't have. And it just becomes more gray, in my honest opinion. But if you're playing an evil guy, you have a lot of decisions that are placed right in front of you, in your face, that you have to visibly choose to be a bad guy, to continue to be a bad guy. I think the pull is not naturally wanting to pull good guys evil. But I think there is a huge pull that wants to pull bad guys good, or at least neutral.
Right.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
For me, though, it's just, like, when you're playing an evil character, you really have to throw a lot of your brain out, because to be able to really be the heartless person that is some evil characters, you really have to remove that part of yourself to be able to play the character properly. And I completely agree with Mike. There is a tremendous amount of pull in RPG games, more so than video games and other games, because a lot of video game systems do a really good job of balancing the neutral good and evil aspects of things. You can't, like, especially with, in our experience with D&D, you can, if you want to, very easily alignment shift out of evil. In video games, not necessarily, it's a lot harder, because if you, like, take Fable and some of those,
Mass Effect,
you have this huge bar that you have to go all the way back to get,
like,
just get back to,
like,
neutral.
A grading scale from one side to the other, yeah.
Right, and where in RPG games, tabletop games, it seems like it's a lot easier to go back, just to quickly shift back out of evil. And there's a lot more, I want to say there's a lot more opportunity in that those style games to come out of those than there is in the video games.
Hey, Don, go ahead.
I was just going to bring up kind of a side point. I don't know how much we really want to deviate from exactly the avenue that we were going to go down, but I can remember having a conversation not too long ago with how effective it is as either a player or someone who's running a game, you know, speaking about role-playing games, with having evil members in your party in a good party. And I think we're probably going to talk a little bit about coexisting with that party, but I think that that's definitely a talent. And I think that if you, not to take anything away from somebody who likes to play good or likes to play evil and stay in that genre, but I think that there's something to be said for someone who can effectively play a good and an evil character. And when I say that, I mean effectively on both sides, because, you know, if you play a very good character and then you play a very bad evil character, I feel like that's kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So that's all I wanted to say.
Josh, you seem awful quiet over there, man.
Well, I'm trying to find the best way to kind of find a balance point here, because as much as I agree, I enjoyed doing the good character, playing the games, doing it the good way first. Perfect example, even on a video game, a lot of current video games are giving you the option of playing the good storyline first and then playing it the evil way second. Star Wars The Force Unleashed is one of the ones that I can think of. Both of those come out, both that one and the second one, had that option where you could go and play it both good and evil, and I tend to play the good one first, but I won't deny playing the evil one afterwards, because you know, you want to see what will happen. But Grand Theft Auto, anyone that's played any of the Grand Theft Auto games, I know for myself personally, I absolutely have a blast just going around and just blowing the ever-loving crap out of everything and seeing how fast I can get 5 police stars or whatever. But that's in a video game standpoint. When we talk about role-playing games, it's very awkward for me a lot of times to try and play an evil character. Because on a video game, you're just basically pressing buttons. You're not really kind of absorbing yourself into the character as what you would in a role-playing game standpoint. And it's similar in poker. It's really hard for me to... Well, let me rephrase that. It used to be really hard for me to bluff at poker until I played an evil RPG. Now I have no problem doing it. I try my best not to lie to anybody unless I'm playing poker, because at that point I'm trying to win. So that's maybe that's balancing the point, you know, balancing sides. I don't know the best way to take that, but that's kind of what I've been trying to process as I've been listening to everybody here.
Well, it sounds like you've answered your own little question there. When you play good, when you play a good guy and you have a party of good guys, your goal is not necessarily always to win. You know, your goal is not, you know, you don't start the campaign and say, hey, we're going to set out and destroy this dragon. That's generally what you don't set out and plan that. Usually you let the events kind of set your path, and then you kind of just encounter things step by step by step until eventually you discover that this dragon was behind all of this big mess that you've just went through. Now, I can say, when you play an evil character, there is a lot more planning involved. Generally, you start and you say, I want to be the king of this land, and that's the plan that I want to go through. And so then you have this big, nasty goal of what you're trying to obtain, and like you said, your goal is to win. Right? So, as an evil guy, you go out of your way to make yourself achieve that goal as humanly fast as possible. Because if you don't, there's always someone else that will. So, I think in retrospect, you've answered your own question, kind of, in my honest opinion, that when you play an evil guy, just like you said, you didn't have a problem lying in poker until you played an evil campaign in a role-playing game. Because when you play poker, you have a goal to win, right? That's what you want to do, is you want to win. When you play an evil game, you have a goal. You want to win. When you play a good guy, you might not necessarily have this huge outstanding goal, but you as a party will have kind of a responsibility. You don't have a goal. You don't have I want to win. You have a responsibility to protect, to uphold, to maintain, to do all that good stuff. It doesn't necessarily look like a goal, but it's more like a responsibility. Because you can't really say, I have a responsibility to be king of this land if you're an evil guy. Because that's not what you are. You have a goal to try to obtain that. Donald.
Kind of building off of your point, I think that I agree mostly with everything you said, but the only thing that I would say that I kind of slightly disagree with you on is...
it's because I'm not paying you enough. That's why you're disagreeing.
Yeah. Is simply based on, I think that as a good character, typically people get lost in their motivation to want to continue to help people. That doesn't necessarily subdue any personal goals that they may have. I agree that as an evil character, typically you are thinking of yourself. Therefore, your goals are in the forefront of the actions in which you take. Well, and as a good character, though you may have goals, and typically your thoughts are more towards helping people progress and then eventually obtaining that goal at whatever pace it takes. But as a good character, typically, as you were saying, you are also probably okay with not necessarily achieving that goal wholeheartedly. You know, if your first goal is to be the king of this land, you know, and to become a ruler or to be the president or whatever it may be, and then, you know, maybe you just become a knight, a loyal knight or something like that. As a good character, a lot of times you're probably going to be okay to settle on that because you have built a reputation for that character to be a good person, to be someone who's going to help out society. Whereas an evil character is going to say, well, I'm a knight, which means now I'm in his court, which means now I'm that much closer to obtaining my goal. So I agree. I just think that I don't want people to get lost to think that as a good character, you can't have those lofty goals because by no means, you know, is that true.
Boy, I think that... When I was discussing that, I kept referring to when you play a good character in a good party.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because generally, the party goal is something that is established exterior.
Right, supersedes a lot of your
which
personal,
supersedes
yeah.
a lot of your own personal goals.
Unless
that is your personal goal.
Right.
but as we progress through, you know, there's a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about. Donald, can you actually say that you've participated in a game, be it a role playing game, that, or even not, maybe not necessarily a role playing game, but have you seen parties that have existed with evil characters and good characters, and how effective or how ineffective are they?
I can think of two different occasions. The first one was a game that I think we all played for a long time, and. Michael, your character actually started off as an evil character, and we played that game for 6 years, I think. And eventually, your character ended up changing your alignment. I don't remember if you ended up being good or just neutral, but I know that there were a lot of character changes that happened throughout that game just based on the storyline itself. And I think that what was great about that is... I feel like what a lot of players miss out on because they're so worried about the people that they're playing with having all the same alignment that there's something about the role play in a party of characters that you don't necessarily know everything about everybody in your party. Because I can tell you, you and I played brothers in the game. And I didn't even know you were considered an evil character until you told me, I think it was probably a few years later, that you actually started your character off as an evil character. And I don't know if maybe that was because, obviously, as us playing brothers, we were trying to cooperate in our decision-making, in our how we affected the actual plot of the game, or if it was just very good role-playing. But regardless... which one it was, I think that I definitely found that that was a very effective way for us to be able to have an evil character in a campaign without it negatively affecting the party. Because I don't think, even though you may have had your own motivations, I don't think at any time your personal goal as an evil character outshined that of the party. And I think that's really what separates an effective mixed alignment party and a non-effective mixed alignment party, because I've played in multiple games where there have been evil characters in there and it has become known to the rest of the party, and then it becomes a situation where now your party is fighting amongst itself, because as do-gooders, you are trying to squash whatever evil plots the world has, and now all of a sudden you have someone in your party who is evil and is attempting to squash the plots as a party that you might have to help other people. So I think that it really just depends on the player, because there are definitely players that can take that evil alignment and roleplay it very well. And then there are people who take that evil alignment and let it go to their head, and then they just want to become like the Joker from Batman and want to blow everything up, and they end up getting squashed because of it. Because, you know, you play in a party of 4 to 6 people, and more than half of them are good, and then they find out you're evil, and now it's you versus them. And typically you don't win those battles, so.
Josh.
Okay. I'm surprised no one's brought it on me now, so I'm going to put it on myself. Currently we're playing with one of our listeners is running for us. We're playing a Star Wars role-playing game.
I just like letting you to incriminate
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, I know. And throughout this game, we have an Ewok that's actually being played by normally Derek, who's normally live via satellite. But he's currently away at one of the conventions going on. And he is playing an Ewok who is dead set, apparently, after he stowed away on my character's ship, dead set on becoming a drug dealer. Now, I'm trying to play a neutral, almost chaotic neutral, mercenary Wookiee. And everyone around me is attempting to either play evil or has no problem with evil or whatever, and I'm trying the best I can to play neutral. And it gets tough when you're surrounded by evil characters to stay neutral or good. At least it was for me. So, of course, this last time we played right before Gen Con, everyone was talking about the memorable moment of my character. You know, I finally basically made the shift to evil and started killing everything in my path. And it wasn't because everyone else was evil. It was because I'd gotten that upset with someone else being evil. So it's learning that balance, as I said. However, I'm running a game with you guys right now, the world's largest city campaign that I'm trying to run through Pathfinder. And we have a lawful evil ninja in the party who evidently has his own plans and goals and so forth that I haven't been informed of yet, but he's also not doing anything to kill anybody in the party. So he's showing that it's totally possible to have evil in it. But for me, it's difficult to be surrounded by evil. Maybe to be the lone man out in an evil party, it's difficult to not go evil, but maybe being the lone evil may not be as hard to play. I don't know.
Tony?
Well, it's like that falls into the category of being evil, but you're missing the aspect of there are different styles of evil. You don't necessarily have to inherently be a killer to be evil. You can still be a killer and still be neutral. You can still be a killer and technically you can still be good, depending on the circumstances. But being evil does not necessarily mean you're a killer. So, I mean, it's the choices you make in the character.
So, it sounds to me that we all have all decided that it is possible for oppositive motivated characters to be existing in the same party. However, I just want to touch very quickly that in the same Star Wars game that Josh was talking about, I was playing a good aligned Jedi, and without revealing too much of the story that we're playing in, I just felt that he was being too conflicted to be able to travel with the party. I eventually handed my character over to the game master and let him pretty much make him an antagonist for our party that we turned into. But it, again, I agree with Don on the same aspect that it really just depends on the player, because where Josh was surviving, you know, neutral, good, whatever, things of that nature, I was lawful good. And where Josh can kind of turn his blind eye to things as a neutral good character, And we'll explain this stuff as we go through this next 9-week series here. But where Josh has the ability in the freedom of his character of being neutral to kind of turn his blind eye to what kind of the stuff that's going on. Myself as a lawful good character, I was constantly being backed into a corner to where it was going to become an altercation. And, I'm not opposed to inter-party turmoil by any means, because I am the master of inter-party turmoil.
Amen, brother.
We all just have to know what we're good at. But I'm not opposed to that. But it's the daunting task that there's 7 evil guys and one good guy. Now, granted, I could probably take 2 or 3 of them down with me, but I wouldn't be serving kind of the greater good by letting them take me out as well. So it's all about your personality and how you play, because if you're that odd alignment out, you're going to, you're naturally going to show out. You're naturally going to have a little spotlight put on you, and you're naturally going to stand out because they're going to want to do things, and you're going to want to be like, no. And then they're going to start to try and figure out that you're different than them. Like I said, over the next 9 weeks, we are going to spotlight or talk about these alignments to try and clear up this big mess that has become the alignment brackets and role-playing games and things of that nature. Donald has volunteered this evening to take the spotlight, which is this part of the show that we're going to call this. And you'll notice very quickly that Donald is going to be the only one talking. In the spotlight, it's going to be about 5-10 minutes, roughly, of Donald just giving his opinion or his outlook or his insight as an experienced gamer on how he feels lawful good is portrayed and what he feels about that. He's gonna get a little more time tonight because he's gonna give a little background on the alignment in general and how that involves with gaming and stuff like that. So this is the spotlight of Lawful Good.
All right. So for a lot of our listeners, most of those who are actually role players in the Pathfinder system, Dungeons and Dragons system, a lot of other tabletop role playing systems and such, a lot of the conflict that people have when they create a character can come out of something called an alignment. Now, for those listeners who aren't really 100% sure on what an alignment is on your character, in Dungeons and Dragons terms or in Pathfinder terms, there are 3 categories of self-motivation and then 3 categories on the boundaries in which you execute those motivations. So as we talked about in our versus topic, there is good and there is evil, but there is also neutral when it comes to your actual motivation. Good, obviously, being there to help the greater good, to help old ladies cross the street, helping Girl Scouts sell cookies, whatever it may be. Your motivation is to generally do good, whereas evil is the complete opposite of that. Now, most of us are familiar, obviously, with the good versus evil concept. Neutral is more along the lines of you are willing to do what it takes a lot of times, depending on which side you're on, to sway good or sway evil, as long as it's within the parameters of your boundaries, which are lawful, neutral, and chaotic. Now, lawful is more of a set of codes or the actual laws of the land in which you live, the laws of the king in which you serve, or lord in which you serve, or sheriff in which you serve. So as long as you stay within those boundaries and within your own personal code, then you would be considered a lawful character. Neutral would be someone who is, they are not going to necessarily push away what the laws may say or what the structure of the law puts in front of them, but they are also not going to be limited by the law in order to execute whether they be a good character, an evil character, or a neutral character. So these are all going to coincide with the good, evil, and neutral part of your being. And then obviously chaotic is mostly defined as someone who has very little regard to the law. They obviously realize that it exists, but they are not going to be bound by the law, even if it means that they are going to be breaking those laws. So over the next 9 episodes, we're going to be discussing these different alignments, which would be lawful good, lawful neutral, lawful evil, true neutral, and then chaotic good, chaotic evil, and chaotic neutral. And I believe, is that all of them? I'm pretty sure that's all of them. I think there should be 9. I may have missed 1 or 2, and I apologize if I did. But tonight we're going to start with lawful good. So, neutral, did I say neutral evil and neutral good? It doesn't matter. There's 9 of them. As you listen to the 9 episodes, you'll get them all. The first one we're going to do is lawful good. So, lawful good is living your life by a law, by the laws, I should say, of your land or king or whomever your superior may be, and possibly even a personal code. So, most samurai would be considered lawful because they serve a lord, and that lord will have a code or a law of their land, but they will also have a personal code that they live by. Whereas, you know, someone who was maybe a ninja would be considered chaotic. So within that realm, obviously, good is affected directly because as a lawful good character, your motivation is to help mankind, and the way that you execute that is lawfully. So you are not willing to do things that are going to break the laws that you are familiar with and that you have decided that you are going to uphold. So someone who may be, an effective police officer would be considered a lawful good character because they are there to help the community and they are doing it within the boundaries of that law and they're not willing to break those laws in order to execute that good. I did come up with a few illustrations that I'm going to briefly kind of give you so that you kind of get a better grasp on what a lawful good character might look like. So I have 3. The first one, if you have watched the movie Catch Me If You Can, if you have not, I definitely urge you to watch that movie because it is very good. But Tom Hanks' character, he is a federal agent, and his name is Officer Carl Hanratty, I believe. And I would definitely consider his character to be a lawful good character. He exists inside the laws, or else he wouldn't work for the federal government, typically. But he exists inside of the laws because that is the person that he is. And he is a good character because as you watch the movie, the person that he is after throughout the whole movie, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he has honest compassion for him. He's a young man who is on the run because of some mistakes that he's made, and he feels like he can't get out of those mistakes. And at one point in the movie, he actually flies all the way to France and essentially rescues him from a French prison that he has been caught basically been sitting in and gotten sick, and he takes him under his wing. He takes him back to the States, and all of this is a true, accurate story, by the way. He brings him back to the States. He is arrested, and he is prosecuted because he is a lawful character. So he is still going to process him as a criminal because he has broken the law. However, he then takes the initiative to go beyond because he has concern for that character, and he works out a position with the federal government to allow him to work with them to find people who are doing the same crime as him. And that way, you know, he still has a life that he can live. Now, obviously, he has a choice because at that point he can either work with the federal government or he cannot work with the federal government and sit in jail for the rest of his life. But that officer, you know, Tom Hanks' character, I should say, he has that opportunity to do good and to help and affect someone's life positively, and then he does it. So that is definitely a good example. Another good one, which is a little bit different, is Sean Connery's character in the movie First Knight. He plays King Arthur in that movie. And I think one of the things that really puts him above a lot of the other what would be considered quintessential lawful good characters would be he gets to a point in the movie where he finds out, obviously, if you're familiar with the King Arthur story, Lancelot, one of his knights, falls in love with his wife, Guinevere, and they have an affair, and he gets caught, or they both get caught by the king, and he has a call he has to make, and that call is he can either allow this man who has saved his wife before to go. He can allow him to leave the kingdom, but then he would be jeopardizing his reputation as that just king and that loyal king to the people, or he can allow his judgment to come down on him, being that he has broken the law. And what he does is he ends up allowing that law to take effect. And the movie ends a little bit differently than what you might expect, but still another good movie. But that is definitely an example of a guy who he has his mind on the people. And, of course, he loves his wife, and he loves this guy for his loyalty because of who he is. But as the king and as a lawful good character, he has to make a judgment call. And so he makes that call for the better of the people because he lives inside that law. The last example I have for you, for those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, is a little bit more of a conflicted character, Boromir. I have not read the books, but I have seen all the movies, and so this is what I'm basing it off of. Boromir from Gondor. In the first Lord of the Rings movie, as you see him, he is a man who is conflicted because he is for the people. He is the head of the city guard, and he has been sent to find this ring to help his father, who is the steward of Gondor. And so his mind is on helping his people. And he is easily corrupted by that ring because his motivation is to take that ring to help his people. Now, in the end of the movie, and if you watch the other movies, the second and the third movie, where you actually kind of get a retrospective look on who Boromir really was with his brother Faramir, you find out that his character is completely different than that which is depicted in the first movie. And at the end of the first movie where he is killed, he actually looks at Aragorn and he asks for redemption. And he asks to be forgiven of the conflict that he has in his heart and in his life. And at that point, I feel like it is such an awesomely executed lawful good character because he understands where he went astray. And he understands what his original job was, which was to show up and to protect everyone in his party, and he realizes that he has missed that opportunity, and he immediately seeks redemption. And someone who would be considered a neutral good or a chaotic good character would not necessarily look upon his deeds as that which would be unlawful or against his own personal code. And that's why I picked those three examples to show you what lawful good really should mean in a role-playing sense. So that's all I really have for our first spotlight. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please leave us any comments or additions to what we are going to continue to talk about with our continual spotlights on alignment. So I'm going to send it back to Mike, and I think he's going to try and close us out.
That I am going to do. Don, I just want to thanks for sharing that and opening the book of alignment that we're going to plow through over the next nine episodes. As we looked through the show this evening, we covered very, very briefly, in my honest opinion, good versus evil. And just based on how big that topic is, we are going to revisit good versus evil 10 episodes from now. When we wrap up this alignment series, when we have everyone involved, you know, giving their spotlight on the various alignments, we're going to come back to good versus evil and see if that changes how we deal with things now that we've got this big explanation of what each alignment is and how people should play this thing or how they should handle interaction with each other and stuff of that nature. On last episode, we established that Grandma and Grandpa don't tap the Ace of Spades, but a good trading card game is worth its weight in coins. However, this evening, we have established be good or not, The choice is yours. Thanks for joining us on the Established Facts.
Okay.